In the Gospel of John, we come across a set of seven famous sayings of our Lord. The seven great I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. They are a set of sayings that say something and reveal something to us of the perfection of the work of the Lord Jesus. The way they are expressed in the original, this phrase, I am, it takes us back to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, where God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, I am who I am. So it's not just an ordinary I am in these sayings. It's far more than that. It's Jesus saying, I am the I am. I am the eternal Lord. These sayings are tremendous claims of Jesus' divinity. And we come this morning to the passage in which the first of these remarkable statements is found. I am the bread of life. John 6, verse 35. Five times, indeed, we hear Jesus give this saying in this chapter. Verse 35, verse 41, verse 48, 51, and verse 58. I am the bread of life. Jesus is before us unmistakably in the gospel this morning as the bread of life. Now, if you look in the immediate context of this saying, Jesus has fed an enormous crowd with some loaves and some fish. We're told 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And he has won this crowd. They're following him. They're seeking him. He withdraws himself and they continue to seek after him. However, as we considered on Wednesday evening at our preparation service, their priorities were completely wrong. They're more interested in the food that he might supply them. They're more interested in having their hunger satisfied than they were in Jesus himself. He says in verse 26, I tell you the truth, you were looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. And then verse 27, which we spent most of our time on Wednesday evening, he told them, do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life. Their focus wasn't to be on physical satisfaction or material things, but on eternal things. And we ask ourselves the question, what is our focus on? Where do our priorities lie? And our priority should be food that lasts. In verse 33, Jesus explained to the crowd that this food that lasts wasn't manna, as they thought, but a person. He says, the bread of God is he, a person, he who came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And we pick up this morning in verse 34, where the crowd respond to Jesus. They reply, sir, from now on, give us this bread. It's obvious they still do not understand Jesus is talking about himself. They don't understand what our Lord is talking about. And so he again explains. And he makes his great claim in verse 35. He says to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. And there are three things we want to consider this morning about the bread of life. Firstly, the bread of life is necessary. It's necessary. It's quite hard for us to understand in our day and age how essential bread was in Christ's day. We have all sorts of food. To be honest, we don't eat a lot of bread. But in those days, bread was the major part of their diet. It was supplemented by vegetables and fish, very occasionally meat, but mostly bread. Therefore, very often in the Bible, bread is synonymous with food. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. And we don't mean a pan loaf when we pray that. We mean all the food that we have. It's a thing without which life is impossible. You can't live without it. It's necessary. And just as this bread was necessary for Jesus' listeners' diet, so he's saying something here to us that's fundamental and important for our spiritual diets. We need the bread of life. Our Lord's saying here, you have a hunger that is deep within you, and it's deeper than any physical hunger. You have a hunger that no material food can satisfy. Friends, we have a hunger. This hunger cannot be satisfied by this world. It cannot be satisfied by a new house, a new job, a new car. It cannot be satisfied by a foreign holiday, a relationship, or a promotion at work. These things don't satisfy that hunger. There's a hunger in every human being that Jesus alone can meet. We need the bread of life. Without it, we perish. Without it, we die of hunger. Without it, our souls starve. Without it, there's absolutely nothing that can nourish and fill us. It doesn't matter what else you might try and fill your life and your soul with. It's junk food compared to this bread of life. This is the food that brings life. This is the food that brings vitality. This is the food that brings health. The bread of life. It's quite interesting. It was through eating that we lost our communion with God. It was through eating forbidden fruit, forbidden food, that man fell from the estate in which he was created. Yet, it's by eating this bread that life and nourishment and vitality can be restored to man's soul. In fact, if you don't eat this food, Jesus says, you die in your sins. The bread of life is absolutely necessary. Friends, do you know that? Do you know that without Jesus you perish? Do you know that in the gospel there is life and death set before you? And these issues affect every single one of us this morning. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter how well off you are or how poor you are. All of us are confronted with eternal life or eternal death. And Jesus says that he's the difference. He's the difference between life and death. He's absolutely necessary. And the devil's quite happy if he can convince you that you don't really need this bread of life. He's quite happy if he can convince you that you don't need Christ yet. Or that there are too many other things for you to choose from at this point in your life. Friends, Jesus says he's the one thing that is absolutely necessary. The bread of life is necessary. Without it, we perish. It's one thing to say that it's necessary. But it's quite another to say, secondly, that the bread of life is available. The bread of life is available. It's actually there. It's within your reach. I don't think many of us really know what it is to really hunger. We don't know what it is to lack for anything. We have cupboards and fridges full of food. Yet, we've all seen images, I'm sure, of countries in the midst of famine. And relief agencies are trying to distribute the food. And we've seen people, they're desperate for food. It's a life or death issue. Friends, spiritually, this is a life or death issue. We need this bread of life. And yet here it is. It's within the reach of every single one of us. Over and over again in this passage, Jesus tells us where he is from. At least 6 times he says, I have come down from heaven. 6 times at least he says, I have come down from heaven. This bread has come down from heaven. And friends, that's a marvelous phrase in your Bibles. Because when we ask ourselves the question, how can I know that I can go to heaven? The gospel comes to you and says, the bread of life has already come down from heaven to you. God has actually made it possible for you then to go to heaven. It's within your reach. Here is a provision that's available. Maybe you say, well, I would love to be a Christian, but that's for other people. No, Jesus says, it's within your reach. Maybe you say, I would love to be a Christian, but I just don't know enough. No, Jesus says, it's within your reach. It's available. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. The English Standard Version here uses the word whoever. It's available for whoever. It's an unconditional, absolute offer. What a great offer that's set before sinners. We like offers, don't we? Well, here's an offer. He's come to give life to all sorts of people. Whoever comes to me. Don't you love that one word? Whoever. John Bunyan, the writer of Pilgrim's Progress, tells that in his life, before he became a Christian, he was so troubled about his sin and his guilt before God, so perplexed that one day he said he came across this one word. And he had wondered for a long time, could he ever be cleansed from his sin? Could he ever be saved? And he read this word, whoever. Whoever comes to me, whoever believes in me. And he said, that whoever must mean me too. That whoever must mean me too. Whoever, friends, this is something for every single person. In life, there are all sorts of things that some of us like, some of us don't like. We have different tastes. But this is something for every single one of us. Every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, every parent in here, every grandparent in here, this is available to you. This bread that came down from heaven. There's something here, and it's available to you. It's within your reach today to have your sins forgiven. It's within your reach today to have eternal life. It's within your reach today to never hunger and thirst again. It's within your reach today to know pardon and forgiveness and reconciliation with God. This bread is available. But you know, there's no point in bread being available unless it's actually eaten. If you're hungry, you could get for yourself the most nutritious, appetizing, the freshest bread in all the world. But it's no good to us if it's just sitting on a plate. It's no good to us if we just look at it, or smell it, or handle it. We have to swallow it. We have to digest it. We have to take it into ourselves. We have to make it part of ourselves. We have to be united to it. That's what we must do with the Lord Jesus. Whoever comes to me, whoever believes in me, we must take him to be ourselves, to be ours. We must be joined to him. And this morning, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we eat bread and we take wine. pictures of what Jesus is speaking about here. By no means are we eating his flesh, his actual body, but the bread and wine, they're an illustration of what he's talking about. Believers, as you come to the Lord's table in a short while, the bread and wine are pictures of his body and blood, symbols. They symbolize Christ's body broken on the cross and his blood shed for sins. And as we eat and as we drink these symbols, it represents our personal participation in the work of Jesus. As we eat and drink, it represents how we have taken him to be ours, how we are joined to him, how we are united to him. John Calvin says, Christ becomes our bread when we come hungry to him, that he may fill us. This bread of life is available. And of course, the great tragedy is that so many, many people don't want it. And they turn their back on it. And so let me say, thirdly, this bread of life is satisfying. This bread of life is satisfying. One taste of it, and life will never be the same again. Taste and see, the Lord is good. If you trust in him, the Bible says, you will be absolutely blessed. If you eat this bread, you will never hunger or thirst again. To eat this bread is to live forever. To eat this bread is to be satisfied in the very depths of your soul. To eat this bread is to have your life filled with the very best that there is. This bread of heaven satisfies. Never go hungry. Never be thirsty. In the original, these are very strong, very emphatic. They're double negatives. He who comes to me shall certainly not ever in any way hunger. Very, very strong. There are many things that the devil parades in front of us and tempts us with. We dabble with them, we taste them, we try them out, and they leave us disappointed. So frustrated, the inner ache is not satisfied, and we hunger again. And the tragedy is we keep going back to them, even when we know the damage that they cause to us. It's like being lost at sea and drinking seawater. It satisfies your thirst for a very, very short time, but if you keep drinking it, it will kill you. But this bread gives you real lasting satisfaction. Jesus says, I can give you satisfaction that you can find nowhere else. And we can be satisfied in the deepest recesses of our hearts. And people come back to this bread because they know that it satisfies. They know that it fills. They know that it does them good. Maybe you're a Christian this morning, but you've drifted away from the Lord. Other things have so consumed your mind and your thinking. They're far more attractive than the Christian faith and the disciplines of the Christian life. And you know deep down you need to repent. You need to get back to this table and you need to eat this bread because nothing else is going to satisfy you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. And you know these hungers. And you know this thirst. And probably you believe somewhere deep down within yourself that Jesus is your only answer. He is. He is. And he invites you now to come to him. Tell him about your hunger. Tell him about your sin. Tell him that you believe that he alone can meet it. And ask him to be yours. He's the bread of life. Isn't bread such a helpful picture here? Don't we regularly have to eat to satisfy our physical hunger? We pray for daily bread. Food is something we need to keep coming back to over and over and over again. Well, isn't it the same spiritually? We need to keep coming back to Jesus over and over and over. Are any of us forgetting that? Are any of us here Christians forgetting that? He's the bread of life. We need to keep coming to Him again and again and again. Not to books, not to friends, not to ministers or to ritual, but to the Lord Jesus Himself. He's the bread of life. How is your diet? Maybe this is why some of God's people are undernourished in these days. They're not feeding on the bread of life. Lacking energy. Susceptible to spiritual illness. They're not spiritually healthy. They have the wrong diet. We must feed daily on this bread of life. Maybe today it's an appetite that you need for Him. Pray for such an appetite. Maybe today you need for God to show you just how empty your life is without the Saviour. He's yours for the taking. We pay nothing, we give nothing. It has been said, heaven's bread was obtained at a great price, but it's offered at no price at all. We read at the start of our service in Isaiah 55, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that glorious? He paid every price that ever had to be paid. He did everything that ever had to be done. He walked every path that needed to be walked so that He could be yours for the taking. The Lord's Supper this morning reminds us of His death for sinners. It's a meal. And those who come to the table with love in their hearts towards the Lord Jesus will find that love strengthened and nourished and deepened. And they will find deepest satisfaction. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Amen.